is translated into commandment, and it stands for the commandment that Jesus gave his disciples to love God and to love one another. So in the story in the Gospel of John, where Jesus gathered the disciples in the upper room, washed their feet, and then gave them the commandment to love one another and to care about their neighbors. Does anyone know why Jesus gathered his disciples in an upper room and what feast they were celebrating? The Passover. The Passover feast, which is a Jewish festival that people still celebrate. They celebrate the Seder, and Seder literally means order, sequence. It's the story of the Jewish people that is remembrance of God's promises and God's love poured out for the people and all of creation. So just as Jesus gathered with his friends in the other room, we gathered together tonight to share God's love with one another and hear the story and remember who we are as God's people and remember again God's promises to us. And this is the meal that we're going to share tonight, just as Jesus shared his last meal with his friends. So on each of your sheets, there's a song sheet, so we'll go through it. We'll stand and let's sing the bread of life with the blessing. Thank you. So we're going to do our communion prayer a little bit differently, and all of you are going to be involved in the communion prayer for the first time. So the first thing you're going to do in your circle is you are going to introduce yourself and describe yourself in one word. You should be glad that it didn't make you memorize everyone else's name and word in your circle. So please go ahead and start. You can use anyone in the circle to start and go around. Introduce yourself in one word that describes you.
Thank you. Saturday to American Girl Shop for lunch. And then we're having
Father, thank you for your presence this time. We have come to this table to sit with Jesus, to know him, to share life with him. May we have the courage to continue to walk with you, to stare at death and the trial in the face, to love life, to love peace, to love justice. Amen. So Jesus gathered with his friends, his nearest and dearest friends in the upper room, and they celebrated the Passover Seder. It's an ancient story, and it is a great celebration. Has anyone here ever participated in this Seder before? So you know it's also a really good party, right? It is a really good party. You drink at least 4 glasses of wine. I have been known not to be, I have been a designated driver every time I go to a Seder. It's a party. It's not just a festival. It's a party. It's a celebration. But it's a celebration that is filled with all these rituals and loaded with meaning. Because it's a story that tells us who we are as God's people. So I'd like to read this part of the story. This is just various verses from the book of Exodus. It tells the story of the Passover. The Lord said, I have witnessed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I know they are suffering and have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that country into a fine broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Come, I shall send you to Pharaoh. And you are to bring my people out of Egypt, God said to Moses. But who am I, Moses said to God, that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God answered, I am with you. God told Moses to appoint his brother Aaron as a spokesman and he will tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites leave his country. That shall make him sterile. And know that your sign after sign, important after important in the land, the Pharaoh will not listen to you. The Pharaoh refused to allow the people of Israel to leave Egypt, so the Lord sent plague after plague after plague on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. 9 plagues the Lord inflicted on the Egyptians, but still Pharaoh remained stubborn until God sent the 10th plague, the killing of the firstborn. But first, God instructed Moses to tell the Israelites to slay a lamb and take some of the blood and smear it on the doorposts and on the lintels of the house, and it is the Lord's Passover. So on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Pharaoh let the people go. And then Moses said to his people, remember this day. The day on which you came out of Egypt, the land of slavery, because the Lord, by the strength of his hand, has brought you out. These are God's promises. God invites us into a relationship to free us, to renew us. God is the God of second chances, and that is a reason to celebrate. And that's exactly what we're going to do. I need you to pick one person from each of your circles to come here so we can talk. Sparkle inside. But you have to pop it open. I want to hear a good pop. Sparkle inside. Not at all. Don't worry about that.
I think we're all some of your own.
Let's hear it pop. If you need extra cups for your table, please let me know.
I think
that's
your.
Now, for each person, if you owe this a bottle of beer. Oh, you're going to have a friend. squash in your circle. Yes. You need one more? And he gave God thanks for the bread, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, do this in remembrance of me." And then Jesus took the wine and the cup, and he gave God thanks, and he blessed the cup. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you see this, as often as you drink this, as often as you tell the story, you remember me." When we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we remember the story of Jesus' love. We remember his death on the cross. And we celebrate the good news of resurrection and Easter Sunday morning. And now you're going to celebrate communion in your circles. However, each one of your circles will have bread and the cup. And I'm going to invite you to pass the bread to your neighbor, and he'll say, "This is the body of Christ," or "This is the bread of life, which is broken for you." And then tear off a piece of the bread, and then you'll say, "This is the cup of life, or the blood of Christ," and you'll dip the bread into the cup and have your communion.
But you can't put your finger on it, and you can't relax, and can't sleep, and can't rest, and can't find any place where you feel safe.
On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation."
Imagine being under threat because of your politics, because of your beliefs, because of your color, because of your creed, because of where you were born.
He withdrew about a stone's throw from them.
It's hard to face the future when everything ahead seems dark and filled with pain and hate. There's no other feeling quite like fear for making you feel isolated and utterly alone.
Knelt down and prayed.
And if you look in the future, look at the news. There's fear on everyone's face. Fear of the future. Fear of no hope. Fear of nothing getting better.
Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me.
And everybody's looking for a way out, looking for an escape clause, looking for a hope for the future, for a promise, looking for someone who could go there with them, instead of them looking for a scapegoat.
Yet not my will, but yours be done.
Imagine what you dread the most isn't just a far-off threat or a nightmare, but it's real. And it's imminent. And it's the fear of war, of torture, of poverty, of hunger. And the fear is so tangible you can almost taste it.
An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
And for so many people around our planet, that fear is something they live with every day of their life, something they wake with, sleep with, breathe in, feed on, something they can't shake off because it's real and it's happening to them.
When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow.
And for the rest of us who live in our stable country, in our comfortable homes, we too know fear. We worry and fret over our relationships, our finances, our jobs, our families, and over the constant changes and shifting sands of our modern culture.
Why are you sleeping? He asked them.
And you know what it's like to feel betrayed, let down, sold out, double-crossed, conspired against. You know the pain of being left alone, standing in the clearing, with the people you thought you could trust the most, watching as you're betrayed by the one you loved.
Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.
In a garden where a man once faced fear and dread, we too are present. We face the uncertainties of our future, or else we sleep, shutting our eyes to the fears of others.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him.
Sometimes the hardest paths to walk start with the ordinary and mundane.
On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation."
He knows that we are weak. He knows that we will fail.
He withdrew about a stone's throw from them.
He faced what was to come alone, with only God to hear his cry.
Knelt down and prayed.
He knelt alone, broken, and humbled before God.
"Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me."
There was real fear of the unknown, fear of what God wanted him to be.
"Yet not my will, but yours be done."
He accepted, placing his body into God's hands, as he would soon place his spirit.
An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him.
God met him because he was willing. God provided strength, but not a way out.
And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
Right through his body, he felt fear. Right through his body, he felt the pain. Right through his body, he felt what was to come.
When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow.
Surrounded by the faithless, he was deserted.
"Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation."
"And it is hard to stand with those in pain, because of our own fear. We fail to stand firm.
We fail to take the cup. And yet, we want to be willing."
"But not my will, your will be done." As we make our way through this holy week, it is at Gethsemane that Jesus is arrested, and soon he will be put on trial. Soon it will be Good Friday. As we continue to make our way, there are prayer stations around the room, and for the remainder of our time together, I invite you to participate in one of those prayer stations to prepare your heart for the next step in our journey. We will have silence in the room, and I invite you to leave in the quiet. Before that, we'll sing together with the blend one last time, and then I'll invite you to the prayer stations.